Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. We read today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 1 and 2. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people, who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. Every once in a while, it appears to us that the Bible contradicts itself. Of course, we know that that's not possible. The Bible is God's word. God can't speak falsely. It isn't possible for God to contradict himself. Therefore, it isn't possible for the Bible to contradict itself. But we do talk about apparent contradictions in the Bible, because it appears that the Bible contradicts itself. They only appear to be contradictions. They cannot be true contradictions. That's obvious because God cannot make a mistake. So when it appears that there's a contradiction in the Bible, we should bow before the majesty of God and believe what he says just because he says it. Now, in our text, God says through Isaiah, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. But God also says in the book of Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what are we to make of this? How can God on the one hand tell us to seek him and on the other hand tell us that those who did not seek him found him? Which is it? Should we seek God or not? Should we try to find him? Or should we not look for him and just sit and wait to be found by him? Well, in point of fact, there is no contradiction here. It is true that we must seek God while and where he may be found. It is equally true that we won't find God by looking for him where he cannot be found. When God says that we must seek him out, he's not saying that we must find our own way to God. When we try to find God on our own terms, we fail. In fact, when we try to find God by ourselves, we set up false gods. We worship falsely. That's what idolatry is. It is false worship. It's interesting to note that when Aaron made the golden calf for the children of Israel to worship, he called it Yahweh, the name of the true God. The people then said that this God had delivered them from Egypt. They wanted to worship God in their own way, to seek him on their own terms. God said no. In fact, he punished them for it. They were not to choose for themselves how to find God. It is God's decision. You see, true worship and praise don't originate in us. Now, it's true that we who do the believing and the worshiping, we are believing, we are worshiping, but true worship comes from true faith, and that is always God's work, and it is a wonderful work. He does this work in those who cannot do it in themselves, because in us there is doubt and fear, there is unanswered and unanswerable questions. Spiritual confusion is our native condition. And then God seeks us out with his holy word, and he elicits faith where doubt and confusion ruled. Those who seek God in their own way don't really seek him at all. God says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. They walk according to their own thoughts. They seek out God, truth, and eternal life according to their own thoughts. They don't want to be taught by God, but they want to do the searching, you see. St. Paul describes these people ever searching but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. People become enamored with their own religious thoughts, and then they attribute these thoughts to God as if they came from God, but they don't. Their thoughts come from themselves. They don't come from God. As God says elsewhere through the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." From the time the devil asked Eve, "Did God really say?" people have sought the truth about God apart from the Word of God. We call such people enthusiasts. Enthusiasts think they can know the truth about God directly without any written or preached Word of God telling them what the truth is. Now, enthusiasts are very religious. They imagine that God is leading them into all sorts of wonderful spiritual discoveries. But when you ask them where in the Scriptures they've learned this, they cannot say. "Oh, the Lord told me," they say. Where? How do we find God and learn to know His will toward us? The enthusiast will insist with a pious air that he only wants to know the will of God. But when you ask him to prove it to you, he cannot. Instead, he appeals to some kind of religious or spiritual experience that he has had. And who are you to question it? God has led him, and who are you to deny it? Should you refer to the teaching of the Bible, the enthusiast will dismiss it and say, "The Bible is subject to different interpretations." But every effort to seek out and to find God on our own will inevitably lead to failure for the simple reason that we are by nature fallen creatures. Our own notion of spirituality is bound to the sinful flesh. We just don't have that spiritual wisdom we'd like to think we have. So unless we are led away from our own thoughts to God's Word, we will remain hopelessly and helplessly lost in our own spiritual folly. We don't know the truth because we found it. We know the truth because He found us. It wasn't on account of our striving. It was on account of Him who came to seek and to save that which was lost. It wasn't on account of our brilliance. It was by the grace of Him who said that we must become as little children. It wasn't on account of our virtuous living. It was on account of the robe of righteousness that Jesus so graciously gave us to wear. We Christians are those of whom God says in our text, "I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name." God chose the ancient nation of Israel out of all the nations in the world. He did so purely by His grace. She didn't deserve God's name, but she was given God's name. Then she rebelled. She despised God's grace. She thought that there was something about her that made God love her. But God did not love her because she was so lovable. He loved her because He was her God. As He said, "I am the Lord your God." A dim illustration is how we parents love our children. We don't love them because of what they do or achieve. We love them because they are our children. We treasure in our hearts the good that they do because they are our children. Were they to deny their relationship with us, whatever good they did wouldn't mean a thing. It never was the good they did that made us love them. And so it is with God's love. It never was, and it never could be, the good that we do that would make Him love us. God loves us because God is love. We did not know Him. We could not find Him, but He found us. He cried out to us, "Here I am, here I am." Where? Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." He says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." God is where Jesus is. God is where His holy word is preached, confessed, and believed. The church gathers in Jesus' name around His holy word and sacraments, and we find our identity in what He teaches us, even when what He teaches us runs directly contrary to our own thoughts. God doesn't see as we do. He doesn't judge as we do. God comes to sinners mired in the blindness and helplessness of their sin, and he lifts them up, washes them clean, and provides them with a clean white robe to wear, and they wear it. And they wouldn't dream of attempting to stand before God on their own merits, asking what they deserve. They live alone by mercy. They seek God where God's mercy is revealed. They look to Jesus on the cross. There they see their God and hear his invitation, "Here I am, here I am." True, God is everywhere, but you don't find him anywhere but where Jesus reveals himself. We might say that we could find God by looking into our hearts, because after all, we have faith. Yes, but within us is also sin and doubt. The Bible teaches that we are all unsound and that our own notions of spirituality are anything but spiritual. The only solution for us is to find God on God's terms, and that is where he comes and finds us in the gospel of his dear Son. Jesus is not an answer among many. He is the only answer for sinners seeking God, because he is the only one who has taken sin away. Our thoughts will always direct us to trust in ourselves, because that's what sin is. It is self-love and self-worship that blinds us to the love of God. We see God's love only when we stop looking at ourselves and begin to look to Jesus. Look at him where he wants you to see him. Look at him in the manger as he leaves behind the glory of heaven to live a life of humble poverty as your brother. Look at him in the Jordan as he is identified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look at him as he shows compassion toward those who are despised by the world, even the religious in the world, thieves, adulteresses, lepers, and the demon-possessed. He feels the pain of their sin. He goes to Calvary to bear that sin, indeed the sin of the whole human race. Look at him. See him dying for you and ask yourself why he did it. Well, why did he do it? Did he die for you so that you would go find him on your own? So that you would, by your speculations, moral exercises, philosophical brilliance, or spiritual contemplation, find God your own way? Oh, no, your own thoughts will only lead you away from God. Jesus died for you so that your own wisdom might be shown to be folly, and that the wisdom of God might become yours. From his crucifixion comes our life, because it has taken away our guilt, our sin, our punishment, and our death. But we sure do love our own thinking, don't we? Our opinions matter. We want them to be heard and embraced. But when it comes to spiritual matters, our eternal relationship with our God, our own thinking is our worst enemy. That's why we need to be bound to the Word of God and to it alone. There is no spiritual wisdom apart from that revealed in the sacred scriptures, and that wisdom is the preaching of the cross. As St. Paul put it so plainly, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. As the hymnist writes, to me the preaching of the cross is wisdom everlasting. Thy death alone redeems my loss, on thee my burden casting. I in thy name a refuge claim from sin and death and from all shame. Blessed be thy name, O Jesus. Amen. And we thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. I'd like to announce a change, not in the schedule of the broadcast, but in the schedule of the services of the congregations that sponsor these broadcasts. Beginning next Sunday, November the 1st, we will have divine service at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville at 8 o'clock, at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 10:30, and at First Devanger Lutheran Church in Fertile at 12 o'clock noon. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.